Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan. We're back here for our Week 6 picks for the 2022 NFL season. And riding a great high, we are, on our betting locks. We're going to jump into our... I'm just kidding. Our betting locks have been terrible this season. So keep that in mind as we get ready to give you our betting locks here in just a minute. Meanwhile, Dylan, our picks themselves, I think, have been okay. But let's see how we do this week, because we got a pretty interesting slate, and I'm going to tell you why here in just a minute, because there are some brutal lines here in terms of some of these games. I think you're looking at toss-ups across the board for a lot of these quick picks that we're going to get to. But for now, we start with our games of the week, and boy, Dylan, it was really hard to find, to search long and hard here for our game of the week, I think, this week, although we have two. It was hard to find the number one game in that slot. So,
yeah, it's been a lot harder in past weeks. As you know, this week was the first time it's actually been pretty easy. Oh, it's all good. We always have the dogs joining. It's fine. Ben's over here sleeping too. But, this week it was a little bit easier with the Bills and the Chiefs. Obviously, they've met in the last couple of playoffs. Should have felt like the championship game last year in the AFC, despite the fact the Bengals had some other ideas. Still probably at this point, I'd say that the teams at the top of the AFC in terms of who you're looking at as your likely 1-2 seeds and who you'd be the most afraid of going against, even though the Chiefs nearly lost the Raiders. Vegas, probably a pretty good 1-4 team at this point. And, yeah, I don't think this game's going to go the way that it did potentially in the playoffs last year. It was a ridiculous affair between the Bills and Chiefs, and especially in that second half of the AFC title game. And I also don't think it's going to be like the regular season game last year, which I think was also in Week 6 with the Bills kind of dominating the Chiefs. And that one, at this point, I do still think Buffalo is just a more complete team. So I really... still going to pick them in this game. It could go either way, but they're the top DVOA team in football right now. They're projected to stay up there at the top. The Chiefs are a defense, as we've talked about, overall this year has been pretty solid, better than maybe we anticipated over the course of the whole year coming in here. But I still think that's maybe a weak enough point. Even if Buffalo's offense isn't perfect, I think they're going to be able to thrive against that unit for Kansas City. The special teams for the Chiefs have still been kind of here all over the place. I'm not sure about Harrison Butker's status for this one, but all those things combined, even with this game coming there in Kansas City once again. When are they ever going to play a game in Buffalo? It feels like they always play in Kansas City. But yeah, I'll pick the Bills to win this one.
Yep, I'm going Bills too. I think that's the best choice here. We've said from the beginning, it just seems like the Bills are the team to beat right now from the start. And they just like to get a lot of momentum heading into that game. And we will see if that turns out to be the case there in Kansas City. All right, our second game of the week is going to be the Cowboys at the Eagles. A big NFC East showdown here. For this one, the Eagles are 6.5-point favorites. By the way, the Bills were 2.5-point favorites against the Chiefs there on the road. Eagles, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Cowboys. I think this one, Dylan, it's like if Dak was back, you'd have, I don't know, there'd be a lot more probably intrigue. This number would be much lower, I would think. But the fact is, probably not going to be back, at least it seems at the moment. So maybe another week of Cooper Rush here on the road against the only unbeaten team left, and that only unbeaten team has looked really, really good. So I'm going to pick the Eagles here in this showdown. I just think that they've got too much firepower. And again, if the Cowboys are Dakless, I just think the Eagles outscore them here in this setup.
Yeah, you'd think with the Cowboys as my division pick, I would slide with them, but I'm kind of going to play both sides because, yeah, I've been on top of the Eagles potentially being a dark horse contender here in the NFC, and now sure enough, they've become probably the best team, most complete team so far in the NFC. Like you said, if Dak had been back, this game has a bit more intrigue. I'm still really intrigued by it, but I do worry about overall Dallas's offense put together a few good drives and overall played all right against the Rams. I wouldn't say it was their best effort. They were, you know, supported by the block punt, by the fumble return touchdown. It's not like they, as an offense, put up that many points in LA, and they're facing a defense right now in Philadelphia that I'm feeling a bit more confident about, especially with their pass DVOI. Maybe Dallas will be able to run the ball okay, but Dallas's defense, for as great as it's been, you know, the Rams are an awful, and we'll talk about them, unfortunately, shortly, but they've been just abysmal up front. They have a ton of injuries. They've not been able to run the ball well. This is a whole different story facing the rushing attack of Philadelphia, as we know. I think it just presents so many more problems for Dallas's defense. I don't think they're going to be a little more conservative, you know, trying to stay away from those turnovers. And it's just a better matchup from Philadelphia's point of view than what the Rams had up front. Obviously, the offensive line for the Eagles is one of the best in the league. Dallas's defensive front's been nasty, and they've been obviously so much fun to watch overall. And I still have a lot of confidence in what the Cowboys can do as a team moving forward. I just think at this point, I feel a bit better about right now. Philadelphia's probably the better team. Maybe it has a bit of an impact this game comes in Philadelphia rather than Dallas. So I'll go with the Eagles here as my pick.
Yeah, which is a good transition, Dylan, into our betting locks, because normally, you know, I can find a game outside of our games of the week if that's not one of our betting locks and such, but I could not on this slate. Like, I just could not find anything I felt confident about anywhere, and this game probably included, but the closest thing I felt confident about to make my betting lock was the Eagles, who are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Cowboys. So I'm going to take the Eagles here to cover that. I think the getting a touchdown, I feel like, is a pretty good setup for them. So, and when we talk about the rest of these games, like, we're going to mention it. Like, there's just a lot that I don't have a lot of confidence in. I mean, this may be one of the wildest, like, least confident weeks ever in terms of our picks, because some of these games are just, you know, blindfold and throw it up in the air and pick one. Like, that's just kind of what it comes down to. But I'm going to make the Eagles mine, although you're going to take my Super Bowl pick on the road as your betting lock here for the week.
Yeah, real quick, I got an update from Field Yates' Twitter that Harrison Butker was a full participant, so it does sound like the Chiefs will have their kicker back, so maybe we got a little special teams edge there. But no, yeah, for my betting lock, I was joking before the episode that we should stop calling them betting locks, given how unlocked they've been. The keys have been there the whole time, but I'm going with the Buccaneers to beat the Steelers by they're favored by 8 in Pittsburgh. It's mostly, I mean, it's not that Tampa Bay's obviously been dominant. Without that roughing the passer call on Tom Brady, Falcons have a chance to win that game at the end there. Pretty, you know, not exactly surprised given how Atlanta's played. That's why we stayed away from them last week. Tampa Bay is a lock for that one despite picking them. But here against Pittsburgh, I mean, Steelers have looked bad, and I know they were playing Buffalo last week, and I know the Bills are probably the most complete team in the league, even if they've had some inconsistent weeks recently. I don't really care. They're at home. It's been a mess, and I do worry about with that defense pinning their ears back against Kenny Pickett, what it could end up looking like. Maybe he'll have a better week. Maybe he will keep them in there. But I think Tampa Bay is just a better football team. I think they're, even though they won last week, they still don't feel like they've hit their stride. I think they have enough health at this point to put together a better product, and I think they should win at least by a touchdown. It's that extra point that's going to be the difference maker here. But like you mentioned, it's kind of been a year where a lot of teams have played towards the middle. The good teams have played down to competition, or maybe they are in that kind of middle range, and some of the worst teams have played up and kind of just stuck around with teams we expected more of. So it's been a really tough season so far for us in the locks compared to the previously. Like you mentioned, picks have been okay. You're still beating me there, which would be unfortunate after me taking that last year. Maybe I'll get back in the playoffs. We'll see. Still only week 6, but I'm going to go with the Bucks. I feel like just the best choice out of the options here to be a lock in Pittsburgh against the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm picking the Bucks to win. Not as confident about the lock, but it's probably in my top 3 when I consider the other plays on the board this week. And by the way, if you were wondering why I was looking down, I was trying to make sure in the Family League, see if anyone had Harrison Butker, because I remember someone dropping him, so I was trying to jump on that pretty quickly, but looks like someone swiped him up. So congrats to the Family League for keeping tabs on his status. I will go with Brett Maher in hopes that the Cowboys put up some kind of points against the Eagles, but not enough to cover that 6.5-point spread. All right, to our upsets of the week. These have been a little bit better, I think, Dylan, at times. We've not been bad with these to this point. Well, I say that, and this is probably the biggest one I've had of the season in terms of the point spread. The Ravens are 5.5-point favorites on the road against the G-Men, the Giants. Yes, the nearly unbeaten New York Giants are at home here, and this is it, Dylan. Like, the biggest point spread I've picked against of the season in terms of my upsets. I'm going to keep riding the G-Men train. I just think, you know, as we've said, I mean, look, the Ravens' defense has not been stellar by any means. Certainly the passing defense, which that's the question, I guess, can Daniel Jones and company exploit that? I just think Saquon, we've talked about just how fantastic he's been. And the thing is, you know, it's not necessarily something where he has to run all over the Ravens. He can catch it out of the backfield and make plays too. So the only issue I have here is I think the Ravens could just run all over the Giants, and that could be enough to kind of cause some issues. But why not? An emotional pick here. Maybe not the most common sense pick when it comes to a football matchup standpoint, but I'm going to go with the Giants. And quite frankly, it's because, I had some other upsets, I think, along the way, but this is just one that I'm gonna ride on this one. So
they're finding ways to win. I'll give them that. And I only was able to watch the end of their previous game against the Packers after it started at 6:30 here in LA. And they could have, obviously, things could have gone differently. This could be easily a 3-2 football team if the Titans make a field goal there in Week One. It's just, yeah. I still think the Ravens have. You know, they've only been trailing, probably now after that, more in the end of that game against the Bengals than they had all year. But nonetheless, still only like a minute or so on top of the 14 seconds in their two losses. I think they're, despite the deficiencies on defense, and like you, to your point, the Giants probably could run the ball. They've run the ball, pretty successfully, whether it be with their Wildcat, with just straight running, or with Daniel Jones himself scrambling around. They're ranking, I believe, in the top 10, sixth in rush offense DVOA, and that is something that the Baltimore Ravens have not really defended well over the course of the early going here, the 26th on that mark. I just still think they're a better team overall. I don't think the Giants' defense has been fantastic. I think the Packers just at times have played down to their competition, as we've talked about over the first few weeks here. I still think they're figuring out their own identity. I don't think the Ravens have that same kind of identity crisis. I know it was a tough game against the Bengals, tighter than, but they've played some really tough teams over the course of the early going of the year. It's a different Dolphins team they faced early in Week Two than we've seen with Miami the last few weeks, and I still think they put up a lot of points against them. I still have a lot of questions about the Giants' defense overall, so I'm picking the Ravens. And I, as much as I would like to see the Giants win, it'd be fun. Little 21 years later, a little Super Bowl 35 revenge, I guess. Here, I don't really see it happening, though. I'm not gonna. This was one I did consider as a lock. Maybe I'm just a Giants hater at this point. If they win this week, I'll have to pick them to win every single game the rest of the way. That'll be the next addition to our picks here.
Yeah, well, I think I picked against the Ravens last week too, so that turned out well, as you saw. So, again, this is just trying to maybe have a little fun with this one, because I do have some upsets elsewhere, but I don't feel great about some of these this week, again, given the schedule. All right. To this one, upset pick here. The Jags are at the Colts. The Colts are 2.5-point favorites in this game. Dylan's going to make this his upset of the week. I don't have a clue what to pick in this game, as with any AFC South game to this point, it seems like. I'm going to pick the Colts, but even I told Dylan, I feel like I need to take a shower picking the Colts to win this game. It's just, after that game last week on Thursday Night Football, I don't know how I could possibly pick them to win this game, I suppose, but they found a way to win that one. And I mean, the Jags, that was the ultimate AFC South game, losing at home to the Texans and not really being able to put up any points. But as Dylan will point out, it wasn't a matter of yardage. It was just a matter of efficiency, and the Jags had none of that against the Texans. I don't know. I'll pick the Colts, but again, this is one that I don't have any confidence in whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of confidence in it, other than I really do think, early in the season, I had more confidence picking them even after the Jags had lost week one, when we picked, I think we both picked the Jags, or maybe I just picked the Jags to beat the Colts in week two, and they shut them out 24-0. They have owned Indianapolis, as we've talked about, in Jacksonville. Different thing here in Indy. I still think the Colts are really bad. I do worry about their... I don't disagree. Like you said, though, you feel like on either direction you're going to go with this. You don't feel good. You need to take a shower. I'm picking the Jags just because I like you mentioned, against the Texans, they scored 6 points. They went 0-for-3 in the red zone. They outgained almost by 200 yards Houston. Just some things that I think they could clean up and should be able to clean up here. I will say, if Indianapolis has done anything well, their defense has been pretty good. They're one of the best run defending teams so far in the early going, second in DVOA on their marks there. So maybe that kind of stifles Jacksonville to an extent, that although Jacksonville has obviously relied on the pass a bit more this year. Some throws missed from Trevor Lawrence, but he's a guy that, as we've talked about after the Philly game, has played really well in great conditions, and not so much when it's raining and different things like that. Not that he had to worry about that last week, but I still think I just have a little more faith in Jacksonville overall. It's not so much that I think they're a great team. I think you kind of got a reality check. We talked early on that they weren't going to always be a top 10 DVOA team over the course, or a top 5 team over the course of the year. They were going to regress back to the mean, and we started seeing that happen to an extent. I just think they're still a better team. I think the Colts offense, they're ranking last in both pass and rush offense in DVOA. And I don't see it getting much better. So I think Jacksonville is at least, they're probably, as long as they don't turn the ball over, win that battle and just be a little more conservative. It might be another low scoring game. I don't know what the over under is off the top of my head, but I think the Jaguars are just a better team at this point. So I'm going to go with them.
Yep. Good luck to anyone who bets that game. You're a fearless soul. All right, quick picks. We run through these, and by the way, normally we record this a day. We're recording this a day later this week, due to some scheduling stuff. But so the Thursday night game will actually have been played by this point. Usually we release it, and the game is the night of. But so Dylan, let's just take our throw here and see if everyone listens and hears us being correct or incorrect. Commanders, 1-point favorites on the road against the Bears. I'm gonna look into the past here. I'm gonna say it's the Bears that won this game.
I'm going to say it's the Bears as well. I don't trust Washington to their front to not give up a few sacks, maybe turn the ball over. Maybe Chicago still sticks to what they've been doing well, which is being really conservative. They don't run the ball well because Washington's defense against the run has been okay, but they just find enough. I'm going to say 12-7 final score.
Oh, no. Don't put that on us. 12-7. Oh, my.
Miss extra point, game. Then they go for 2 the second time and don't get it. So it's 2 touchdowns. But
second straight Thursday night game where the winner scores 12 points. No, thank you. I want no part of that. We're going to record a revised version of this and upload it in the file. We're just going to go the other way, hopefully. I'm gonna go 34-31. Give me some points in this game. I'm just kidding. I don't think that's happening. But all right, on to the 49ers at the Falcons. The Niners, 5-point favorites in Atlanta. Dylan, here's my thing. You're talking about a team that I'm not, you know, this is kind of tricky, though. The Falcons, as we've said, going into last week, they kept every game between, what was it, 4 points, I think?
Yep.
They lose by 6 last week. Made it very interesting against the Bucs. This team just refuses to get blown out, and I can't imagine that's going to be the case here again. So I'm going to pick the Niners to win this game, but I'm not going above that 5 points because I just, again, the Falcons just proven that they may not be great, but they're good enough to cover the spread. And we always say good teams, you know, win, great teams cover, or whatever the phrase is. So maybe the Falcons are moving into greatness category when it comes to keeping these games close. So,
yeah, it should have made them my betting lock just to cover every week. Yeah, screw that's true. Picking the winner.
Maybe.
Should have just stuck with that. I wouldn't pick that here. I still think the 49ers probably will cover. But to your point, the Falcons have kept all these games close. They did a great job against Tampa last week. And against pretty good defenses, they put up some points. They put up some points against the Rams. I know they had the block punt in that game. They've overall been, as we've talked about, just a better unit, no matter what their record ends up being. They were 7-10 last year. They could finish worse than that, and I'd still feel better about them as a fan and the direction they're moving. They've been a pleasant surprise on offense, ranking in the top 10 at this point through the early going, higher than San Francisco, and they've run the ball really well, and it's something that, you know, the 49ers defense is dominant. They've been, that is like especially their strength. If you're able to pass block up front, and usually that's the way we've seen teams kind of get to them, is being able to exploit their secondary, which with Mosley going down, a big hit for them there. But I still think the Niners are just a better team, so I'm going to pick them. I still think they'll cover, but maybe Atlanta keeps this closer. And I'm just overall a team that, out of all these teams that have kind of been, like we're saying, playing in the middle, they're one that I've just, each week, going into the year, I wasn't necessarily looking forward to all the Falcons games. But now I find myself the next day with the condensed games and all that. Like, I'm always seeing what do they do differently. And their offense, as much as Kyle Pitts, fantasy owners might not always be super happy here. I think that they've figured some of their identity out. And their defense still has a lot of things lacking, though. So I'll say San Francisco puts up some points here and gets the win and probably covers.
Patriots at the Browns in the Bill Belichick Bowl here. Browns 2.5-point favorites at home. Here's another game, Dylan, where I don't have a great feel on. Although it's funny because I don't have a great feel on this, but I almost made it my betting lock because I really didn't have many other choices. I'm picking the Browns here, so I'm thinking my thinking would have been, all right, I'm picking them to win. They got to win by probably field goal or more, right? So this is another game I just don't have a great feel on. Patriots just decimated the Lions last week.
Yeah.
As Dylan said before we started recording, the Browns brownsed. I don't know. Like, I'm going to go with the Browns because they're the home team, but quite honestly, Dylan, if this was in Foxborough, I'd probably pick the Patriots. So
I don't have a great feeling. I'm really worried we're going to come back here on when we're recording Monday and it's going to be Patriots found a way to win by like 17 points. I could see that happening. I went with the Browns as well. I don't, again, feel amazing about it. The main reason I look at New England has the fifth worst rush defense in the league in DVOA, and the Browns have the best offense on the ground. So I think the Cleveland's going to stick to what works, set some things up for the pass. I don't think we're going to see them get stifled the same way Detroit did last week. Flip side, though, Cleveland's defense, I mean, they're a team, it's hilarious. If you had told me that in the top four in offensive DVOA, even at this point, even though we're only through 5 weeks, Baltimore and Kansas City at 2 and 3 make perfect sense. Number one, Seattle, and then number four, Cleveland. Would not have expected that, but I also expected a lot more from this defense. They've been pretty bad for the Browns. It's just, I don't know if the Patriots have the ability to stifle them the same way. Maybe Stevenson has a huge week. I think losing Harris does hurt in this instance. These are the Browns, also a team that doesn't defend the ground game well. If you can bet on the over-under of the time of this game, I would go on the under because it's probably going to be a ton of running the football, a lot of clock movement. I'll go with the Browns to win. I feel it partially in my heart that we're going to come back and just be like the Patriots just have found their identity on defense. They're starting to click there, and Cleveland's still kind of that middle of the ground team. Their team, though, the Browns overall, I do think is, they've lost some brutal games. They really have played better than what their record is at this point, so maybe this gets them back on track and keeps them at least with a shot before the toughest part of their schedule, as we know, coming up. They really need this win if they want to have any chance of being in the playoff conversation, in my mind, by the time Deshaun gets back.
All right, the Jets at the Packers. The Packers, 7.5-point favorites in Green Bay there. I know you thought about this one, Dylan. You thought about going the
not after last week
or more. Well, that's true. I'm going to go with the Packers here. I just think they're at home. They find a way to bounce back. But again, I don't think you can write off the Jets anymore. We used to do that a lot. Now I think it's pretty clear, as we said, the Jets are a team that's on the rise, although I don't think that means, AFC title contender or anything just yet. But maybe a little bit more interesting than you would think from the spread. I think actually, to me, and we usually make our betting locks in terms of straight up winners in terms of adding that into the mix, but one of the better betting locks maybe of the week is the fact that the Jets may be able to cover the 7.5 here, even though I'm going to pick the Packers to win.
Yeah, I think the home cooking for Green Bay, I think they're going to want to prove something after what happened in that game. And they had the game in control before the Giants slowly came back and just saw them kind of shoot themselves in the foot to an extent. I wouldn't say the Giants defense necessarily put on a clinic against Green Bay, and I do wonder how they're going to perform with how they've the identity of the Packers at this point, sticking to the ground game and wanting to establish the run. And is that going to work as well against a Jacksonville defense a Jets defense that has been okay? They've been kind of middle of the pack in that respect. I think they have some talented players, and overall the defense has been better than I expected, and is trending so far based on Dave from Football Outsiders. They expect it to ultimately getting better and ranking better by the end of the season. They see some good things with what's happened there. So, yeah, Jets are a fun team. I don't know the offense, though, if I trust it enough against a Packer defense that I think has been a little inconsistent. I think it's much better unit than how it's played the last couple weeks, especially defending the run. Maybe they confuse Zach Wilson a few times, but we'll see. I think it's a game that if you're a Jets fan, this is a huge measuring stick kind of performance. I mean, you beat the Dolphins last week, but with down to the third quarterback, what do you gain on that side of the ball? Miami's defense was out there all day, and over time, it just slowly wore them down. It felt like, I think this is just a game that, even if you lose, if you stay in it with Green Bay, and I know the Green Bay struggle, but still, from the Jets' point of view, like, you guys were, they won, I think, four games last year, maybe three, at least probably 4-13. You're already at 3-2 right now, and if you can compete with a team that most people going into the year put in at least the top two, three favorites in the NFC, I mean, that's a big... big thing for the Jets. So I'm excited to see what they can do. I'm picking the Packers to win, but I think to your point, I think I would, if I had to pick on the spread here, I'd probably go with the Jets covering. I think that touchdown and under, I could see it being a 4-5, 6-point kind of game in Green Bay's favor, but I think the Jets at least have enough firepower and offense to keep it close enough, and I think their defense maybe presents, I think it's a better outfit than what the Giants have, so we'll see what the Packers can do there.
All right, the Vikings are 3-point favorites on the road in Miami against the Dolphins, who will be without Tua still, without Teddy Bridgewater. Skylar Thompson likely getting the start, it sounds like, for the Dolphins. So that's why I'm going to swing this pick towards the Vikings. Yeah. Although, as I told you as well, there's another game I just don't love. Like, I still think the Dolphins can win this game, absolutely. They've got enough weapons offensively to do it. And we've seen the Vikings win some close games, so I think that's something else, too. Maybe have a little more confidence there. But I don't know, Dylan. I also could see the Vikings just coming out flat here and the Dolphins finding a way to win. Like, I just, for some reason, like, that's in the back of my mind here. I'm like, I don't know, pick the Vikings. But this may feel like one of those games that you see every now and then with the Vikings where maybe they just don't perform to what you think they will. But Dolphins third-string quarterback, I think it just makes sense to lean towards the Vikings here.
Yeah, even if Teddy was playing, and I'm pretty sure he's out. Is that correct? I haven't seen.
I think he's out. Limited practice. I'm fairly certain. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he somehow is able to get in there, that might have flipped things for me. I think he's that, like, you know, steady enough to your point. I think the Dolphins are going to come out playing really hard. I think they're going to try to smack them in the mouth up front. And I don't know, Minnesota, they are 4-1, and they found a way to win the games that, you know, we talked about. They've always seemed to lose those games, and last year they played all the one-score games. They still are, but they're winning them this time. They are, your point, though, 1-4 against the spread so far. So it's that kind of sums up exactly how I would feel about the Vikings' expectations for what they really are as a team. I don't know. The defense has not been fantastic at times in that game, letting the Bears battle back into it. You see some of the deficiencies they have there. But again, I think Miami has struggled, especially with their pass defense over the course of the year. I think there's a lot of vulnerabilities in that secondary beyond some of the stars that they have. So I see Minnesota, I see Justin Jefferson, and the way that they've kind of got that passing game going the last few weeks, I still think they're going to find a way to move the ball and do enough to win this game. But it has the potential to be a game that when we're talking about red zone and what's going to be on there and wacky endings and the witching hour, I could definitely see Vikings-Dolphins coming right down to the end, even with Skylar Thompson if he's in there. And again, if Teddy finds a way to play, I really would maybe flip it, but I still think it's almost a coin flip regardless for this one. But I'll go with the Vikes.
All right, another one that's kind of interesting, the Bengals at the Saints. The Bengals 1.5-point favorites in this game. Seems like Jameis limited in practice. Doesn't sound like Michael Thomas or Jarvis Landry will play as we're recording this on Thursday. Neither practiced. So I don't know. This is a tough one again for me because I think about, you know, we talked about the Bengals and just the schedule, right, that they play. And I don't know. I'm going to pick them here, but I understand why the spread is as low as it is, because this is another kind of, you know, big test, I think, for the Bengals going on the road here, coming off that tough loss to the Ravens. I'll pick the Bengals. But again, I think Jameis' status makes this more interesting in terms of if he plays or not. But still, like we said, two top wide receivers are going to be out for the Saints also. So, yeah, you can tell, like, Dylan, I'm very confident, huh, in this one, as I've been in a lot of these. I'm picking the defending Super Bowl runner-up here, but I understand why the spread is only 1.5.
Yeah, I do too, but this is one that I feel better about, just what the Bengals have presented, especially what they did against the Ravens as a defense in that last game. I just think that's a much better offense that they just face in Baltimore than what they're going to see here. from New Orleans, especially with the guys they have out, no matter if Jameis plays. I mean, that offensive line for New Orleans is just not the unit that it used to be for so many years. I think they're going to eat up front. I think Cincinnati, their offense hasn't been fantastic this year, and I do worry about them on the flip side, the possibility of turning the ball over and what that could mean for New Orleans and that team. And, you know, it's just New Orleans offense. You know, last week we were talking about, they played Seattle, who's been one of the worst defenses in the league. I think it's just a bigger adjustment here. It is, you know, the fact they're at home, I think that matters, but I just trust enough of the skill position players and Joe Burrow to be the difference in otherwise a game that I think these teams aren't drastically different with how good the defenses have been, how the offensive lines have struggled. The big thing that differentiates them is Saints don't have Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins, all these guys, and the Bengals do. So I'm going to side with the Bengals to win this one, and I just feel pretty good they're going to win. So with 1.5-point spread, that's why I was like, maybe go with that as a lock. But there's enough, like you said, from the Saints' point of view. It's still a team that has battled, and maybe I need the respect a little bit more than picking them against them as a lock in this one.
Well, Dylan, I'll tell you who's got my respect. All aboard the Geno train here. As I told Dylan, in the Family League Fantasy, I was up all night because I was wondering, am I going to get to pick up Geno Smith from the waiver wire? Turns out my opponent ahead of me in the order was the one to get him, so he will undoubtedly throw for 4 touchdowns again this week. And that is my expectation because they are playing the Cardinals, who are on the road in Seattle as 2.5-point favorites. I'm picking the Seahawks here. We kind of talked about that, Dylan, I think, with the Cardinals. I know the Seahawks lost that game last week against the Saints, and quite frankly, when you look at it, in terms of the points they've given up the past couple weeks, 45 to the Lions, 39 to the Saints, not ideal. Also give up 27 to the Falcons and Niners the weeks before that. Back home in Seattle, I mean, Dylan, I think this is a high-scoring game, right? Like, I feel like this, it has to be. But, you know, what's interesting here is I think the over-under, I'm going to try to find this real quick.
50.5 is what I see.
50.5. That feels low to me, all things considered here. So one of my other best bets of the week, I think, is the over on this game. I'm picking the Seahawks, jumping aboard the Geno train. I just don't trust the Cardinals. Not that I trust the Seahawks, again, given what they've given up. But give me the Seahawks in this one.
I as you might have seen in our sheet here, I had the Cardinals written down, and now it's empty. I'm debating. I'm having a tough time because I really do think, yeah, Seattle's been kind of inconsistent though. With, you know, they lose that game, and the defense is still such a question mark. Man, Arizona too though. It's real. Maybe I'm looking too much into what they did last week against Philadelphia. I thought that was probably their best total performance of the entire season. I know they just had beaten down Carolina right before that. They just overall do not still feel great about their own defense. I don't think their offense has been nearly as efficient, obviously, in the early going as Seattle consistently. And I know the Seahawks last year did put a beat down on them in that last game with nothing else to gain from the win. I know Russell was playing that game, but I'm going to switch to the Seahawks. I'm going to go on the Geno train. When you were talking about staying up all night for Geno, it made me think of that meme where it's the guy and the girl laying next to each other, and she's like, he's probably thinking about another woman, and then his actual mind, like, I might be able to pick up Geno Smith tonight.
Can I get Geno Smith in fantasy? That's exactly the setup. Yeah. So in 2022, that was it. So, yeah.
I'm with you. I'm on the bandwagon. We'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll jump right off after this week, but I'll go with Seattle with you on this one.
Oh, Geno. Unbelievable. What, how many years has he played? He came out of college almost a decade ago.
Yeah,
isn't that wild to think about? My goodness. All right, the Panthers at the Rams. The Rams, 10-point favorites, and getting no vote of confidence from Dylan right now. Dylan not even sure if the Rams can put up 10, so he's not sure about them covering this 10-point spread. Although I think it's pretty clear. We all know what I think about the Panthers if you listen to this podcast. They just fired Matt Rhule, which I think, Dylan, we may have called last week. From what I remember, I think we had that discussion. We said most likely the team with the coach will get fired the first. Yep. That happened, and now they hit the road to play the Rams. You know, I feel like we've seen this before with teams who fire their coaches. They come out and just rejuvenated the following week. And I wonder if that's the case here against a Rams team that is not playing its best football right now. But nonetheless, there's no way I'm picking against the Rams, even if, like you said, I can't say I love the 10-point spread just because have no idea what to expect from the Panthers. So
that 10-point spread is way too high. Just like them being favored by so many points against the Cowboys is too high. I'm still mad at myself for not picking the Rams or the Cowboys in that game last week. I literally was like, they're going to eat up front, and sure enough, they did. Yeah. Dallas's defensive line won that football game. I'm picking the Rams here. I'm not going to pick them to cover because, again, Carolina's defense has had its moments. They've had maybe some feast or famine plays with some pick sixes, but also just kind of a middle of the pack group. I think the other side is where I have a hard time seeing the Carolina doing anything against the Rams defense that, despite their struggles in offense, has still been really solid. They've really improved against the run this year. I would say their pass defense has taken a step back, but I don't even know with, honestly, maybe more of a threat with PJ Walker than Baker there, honestly, this week for Carolina. Maybe, like you said, that we've seen teams that come out fired up, and if the Rams play down, I know they're going to be try to match that energy, but they just are decimated up front, so they have to not turn the ball over. I think the Rams still win, but yeah, I'm not sold on what is happening with the offense right now. It is a unit that is discombobulated. It is all over the place, and I still, if I had the, you know, 42 is over under, I'd probably still take the under on that. I really just don't see either team getting much going on offense. I think just the Rams still a better team at home, find a way to get the win. If they lose this game, I don't know about looking at the playoffs. You're sitting at 2-4 at that point, and it's getting the schedule's going to get a lot tougher, as we know some of the quarterbacks the Rams are going to face over the course of the year. Maybe they can work out a trade for Brian Burns at halftime of this game, and maybe that'll be the thing that the Rams need. But no, really, they need to figure out their offensive line. It has been a big problem all year.
Well, speaking of teams that struggle to score, the Broncos on the road against the Chargers. Chargers 4.5-point favorites in this game here. All right, Dylan, let's just point this out. The Broncos have played 5 games this season. They've only scored over 16 points once, and that was the loss to the Raiders, where they scored 23. Again, going back to the Geno thing, it's just wild to think about where we are right now, looking at the Broncos and looking at where the Seahawks are offensively. I have zero... You know, the Chargers, as we said, have been the Chargers at times, and you never know, but... I just cannot pick the Broncos to... I don't know who I'd pick them against right now, to be honest with you. Like, I think about that. You know, they beat the Texans. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Seahawks. Beat the Niners in the, you know, extra innings. I'm looking down their schedule right now, Dylan. Like, I'm honestly telling you, the only team I may pick them to beat right now with any confidence would be on the road against the Panthers. And that's in late November. Like, Chargers, even the Jets... The Jags, the Titans, the Raiders, Ravens, Chiefs, Cardinals, Rams, Chiefs, I know people think it's like been bad to this point, but when you look ahead, like, there are not a lot of comfortable options out there in terms of wins and them being able to put up points if this offense continues to play like this. So that's my rant for the day. I'm picking the Chargers.
Yeah, the only reason to have confidence in Denver has been their defense. I think over the course of the rest of the year, it's the reason they've won the games they have. It's the reason they should have beaten the Colts last week. I think they've overall themselves played quite well, and I know they've struggled maybe a bit in that Raider game, but I think, again, the Raiders are a much better team than 1-4, like their record indicates. I'm picking the Chargers. They could be 2-3 if the Browns make that field goal, but they also probably should have just punted the ball. I don't know if the Browns would have gotten that position for that kick there at the end. I think the Chargers overall played a better game and fought back. And, you know, they took those shots early in the game. It was impressive to see them fight back, although we've seen plenty of teams fight back from big deficits against the Browns this year. I think the Chargers are just a better, more complete football team, even without Bosa. I think their defense has been fine. I don't know if Denver has. Like, to your point, I don't know if they have the firepower to really take advantage of the deficiencies that we've seen in the Chargers defense. I really just have a hard time picking Denver, to your point, against teams that I think are good, even if they're not realizing the strength of what they can be. I think at times we saw last week Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense get things rolling a bit better. I think this is probably their toughest defense they've faced, I think, pretty easily this year. Jacksonville still ranking pretty high, and they struggled against them. So maybe that's the one way to feel optimistic about Denver, but they'd have to force a number of turnovers. It could happen, so no reason to make this a lock. From my point of view, but I just feel way better about who the Chargers are right now, even if I have a lot of confidence in Denver's defense. And that is the most frustrating thing, I think, for anyone that's following the Broncos, whether you're a fan or just over the top. I mean, this team, this is the setup for what we thought would make Denver into a possible contender, was the defense rising back into the top 10. And they've exceeded even my own expectations for what they could be. I thought they might be around that range, and they've really truly been a top five defense early on. But the offense is just, it is such a disappointment. And, you know, obviously losing Javonte doesn't help, but still before that, it's just a lot of issues, a lot of open guys that Russell's not seeing, especially in that last fourth down in the game against the Colts. So it's been tough to follow, and maybe they get things on track over the course of a long season, but right now just can't go with Denver at this point.
Yeah, via covers, Broncos are 0-5 against the spread in their last five road games, dating back to last year. The home team is 5-0 against the spread in the last five meetings between these two teams. So, and the under, by the way, Dylan, is 8-1 in the last nine games played in Los Angeles, their home games for the Chargers. So, yeah, I think the under is always a good bet when the Broncos are on the field. So there's another possible option there. So there you go. There are picks for week 6 in the NFL. And, of course, Dylan, lots of stuff going on, not just in the NFL, but everywhere. This is like that week where everything just starts to come together. You've got the NFL, you've got Major League Baseball playoffs, the NBA is back. So much happening. So let everybody know where they can find all that at Clutch Points.
Yeah, you can follow all the MLB playoff games, all the NFL games, and yeah, soon to be NBA regular season, preseason at the moment, but Tuesday with the tip-off there for the first couple games, you can follow all those in the Clutch Points app. Tons of coverage of the playoffs as we're recording right now. I think the Mariners are playing the Astros. We got Yankees, Guardians delayed till tomorrow, so by the time you're listening to this, you'll have three games on Friday to follow in the Clutch Points app. Tons of betting predictions for all of NFL, all of the NBA, also college football. A couple of really big games, Michigan, Penn State, and Alabama, Tennessee. We got those broken down with our previews at Clutch Points in the college football section. So no shortage of stuff to read and follow and watch on the Clutch Points app and on our website.
Yeah, maybe on the road to another Braves-Dodgers showdown. Also, maybe on the road to another Padres-Phillies.
Oh, boy. There you go.
We'll see. Hopefully the former and not the latter for both of us. We'll see. All right, check everything out at Clutch Points. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Stabs Pass. And thank you as always for listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you next time on Stabs Pass.